Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Celebrating the return of the fans, Mark's having a special deal, and it's just for our Keystone Kickoff listeners. Get this, go to our app, and you could register to win a free RV for that first game, home game, versus Ball State. If you don't have the app, just go to your app store and search for Keystone Sports. You'll see the button there. You could register to win. And for more information, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And guess what? This has been a recruiting-heavy segment. We talked about some of the individuals in the first two quarters, Dustin. This quarter, we're going to start our overview of the 2022 class, which is, you got to say, it's been a very successful class so far. Give me just your initial thoughts on the recruiting class as a whole.
I mean, I think it's gone about as well as you could possibly hope. You know, this race through June and into July was something that was very much unprecedented in the recruiting world. I don't think anybody could have fully predicted where exactly things were going to go once the floodgates did open. You know, Penn State wasn't 100% on wins, but if you look back to, you know, that stretch where it looked like Notre Dame was going to be the pick for Nick Singleton, you know, that was maybe, I don't want to, low point is a bit much. I don't think it was quite like that, but that was the last time where there was real uncertainty about where this class was going. They managed to kind of get him back, get a commitment from Singleton. And I think it's come up mostly roses since then. So Penn State is one of the hottest teams in the country on the recruiting front. Number two on the 24/7 sports national rankings, number three on Rivals. I mentioned in my notes here, it doesn't look like they're going to maintain that position realistically through the end of the cycle. But I do think it's going to be, you know, a class that's in the top 10 when it's all said and done. I think number five, you know, a top five class looks like it's kind of iffy with the number of programs that are in good position behind them. But I don't think any of that really matters. This is a class that's got a lot of big time athletes, and the players that aren't, you know, your four-star type players are ones that Penn State truly loves. You know, they like their skill set. They believe that the recruiting services have it wrong with them. So 20 commitments and Penn State likes where they stand with potential to grow, potential to add more commitments here in the coming weeks.
I think it's important, Dustin, to explain exactly how this works. You mentioned, you know, they're number two ranked on 24/7, number three on Rivals. But when they do those rankings, it's not just based on the quality of the players brought in, it's also the quantity. At 20 recruits, Penn State right now is one of the leaders in quantity of players. If you look at the end of the ranking and the average ranking of the Penn State players, I took a look at it. They actually ranked 10th as far as the average ranking of the individual players. So when you bring in the rest of the schools, the Alabamas and Clemsons and Oklahomas and Georgias, when they get up to speed with the number of recruits, they will probably pass Penn State. And that's to be expected. It's how it works pretty much every year. But for Penn State to maintain that top 8, 9, 10 type class, that's still pretty special for them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll touch on this a bit more, I think, as we look a little deeper into the individual players themselves. But, you know, Penn State has a list of pretty sure thing type players. And there's not, you know, you're not going to fill your class with 25 or perhaps more sure thing. So when you're not getting a sure thing, what type of things are you looking for in those players? And for Penn State, it seems pretty clear, more so now than ever, that they're looking for certain physical attributes that say that this player can develop into something if we do our jobs as coaches. And I think that's what they've gotten at the bottom of this class, is that they've gotten guys who have physical skills that they believe in and that they have confidence that they can develop. So, and those are the types of players, the three stars, who aren't getting huge national attention, and Penn State's okay with that. And those are the types of players that, you know, maybe Georgia or LSU or Alabama or Clemson, they're not taking a lot of those types of players. But I think for Penn State, you know, I think they feel like if they're going to get the most out of these classes with their current position, they're going to have to take a handful of risks in each class. And this is the type of risk that they're taking. They're looking at guys who have power, big hands, big head, as James Franklin has said in the past, speed. You know, they're looking for a defined physical strength or two that they can add the technique and they can cultivate, and they can maybe either shore up their weaknesses or make their strengths even stronger. They're hedging on the physical stuff, believing that they can develop everything else.
And also, they have a couple kids, the junior college kids get ranked a bit differently and lower, and you have a punter. You don't get five-star punters, so that affects that class ranking also. Let's talk about how important this recruiting class is, especially after a couple things, which is less than optimal recruiting classes in 2019 and 20 and even 21, and also the fact that they're coming off a 4-5 season. I know it's a COVID season, but you can't take away it was still 4-5.
There have been plenty of reasons to have doubts. There have been plenty of reasons if Penn State's going toe-to-toe with, I don't know, Ohio State or Michigan or a number of other programs. You're going toe-to-toe with these guys. The negative recruiting seems like it would be pretty easy at this point. You saw what happened in 2020. You have seen that they haven't been able to keep Pennsylvania players, the top players in the state of PA, at home. You know, what's going on with that program? And I think, you know, there are certain times where the narrative, whether it's national narrative or whether it's narrative in the Big Ten or even within the Penn State fan base, where it doesn't match the narrative of what recruits are talking about and what's happening behind the scenes. But I think this is one case where, you know, doubts had the opportunity to fester. I mentioned 2019 in my notes as a class that wasn't optimal. It's really just looking at 20 and 21. Caught that there. Like those two classes were unusually full of either guys who were plan Bs or there were too many players on the developmental side of things, in my opinion. Not enough sure things and too, you know, a lot of guys who need some serious work in order to see the field. So there were some things that were trending in the wrong direction that made the 21 season really, really important, that they've got to show that they're back in this race again. They're back in the college football playoff race again. And I think they needed this 22 class to restore confidence that the trajectory is back to an upward one, where there were multiple reasons you could have painted the picture that Penn State was declining.
In the 21 class, and we talked about this quite a bit, Penn State got one Pennsylvania player out of the top 10, and that player was Lonnie White, who might still end up playing baseball and not show up for football. This year, by this year I mean the 2022 class, there are 10 Pennsylvania players. Is this a case, Dustin, where James Franklin and his staff didn't emphasize Pennsylvania enough, or there wasn't that much talent in Pennsylvania in those other years? What changed? What happened?
Well, I mean, I've been pretty vocal about the fact that no matter where a five-star player is from, his recruitment is going to be different than any other player. And I think some of the more notorious losses for Penn State, looking at Julian Fleming in 2020, looking at looking at the lineman Nolan Rucci, who went to Wisconsin. You know, these are five-star players whose recruitments, you know, they looked and felt a little bit different than most kids. But I do think that in 2021, like James Franklin himself has said that he and his staff just did not do a good enough job acclimating to those unique circumstances and trying to make their best pitch to guys without, you know, what has been so important to them, these campus visits and seeing the town and getting a feel for the town. Penn State has needed that more than probably the average program has, just because of the way that they're situated in a rural area. But, you know, I think that maybe the talent in Pennsylvania hasn't had the depth that it does in 2022. But also, they just haven't gotten to the finish line with guys. Flat out, they have not gotten to the finish line with guys that, you know, I think most people would say that they should have gotten to the finish line in more of those cases. In this class, there's no question about it. Like, yeah, you did not get Ine White from Philadelphia, but you've gotten almost everybody else that you've wanted from the state of Pennsylvania. 10 guys in a class of 20 so far is a pretty big statement that they are, you know, to borrow James Franklin term, they are in position to dominate the state again.
Dustin, here's how I look at this. If you're Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma, I think those are the elite two, they recruit nationally and they can recruit nationally. So you have two lanes really to take if you're competing against them. One is you try to recruit nationally against them. Or B, you say, I want to emphasize regional and dominate my own area and do really well there to compete. Was this a case where James Franklin tried and didn't quite make it on the national basis and is now regrouping as a regional power?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, probably always changing formula. You know, you have guys who have backgrounds, you know, like a Jaywon Sider in the state of Florida, for example. You are trying to expand your territory. You are trying to create relationships in all kinds of regions that could be fruitful in the future. But at the same time, you know, a lot of work has to go into just protecting the Mid-Atlantic region. Everybody wants to be in New Jersey. Everybody wants to be in Virginia. Everybody wants to be in Maryland and D.C. A lot of programs regionally and otherwise want to be in Pennsylvania, whether that's Philadelphia in the East or Pittsburgh in the West. You know, so there's competition that's ongoing to try to maintain their foothold here in the Mid-Atlantic region. And if you spread your resources too thin, I mean, I think that's got to be at least a small factor in not being able to protect your backyard, is trying to have your eyes too wide at some of these other regions. But this does feel to me like Penn State is centered again, both coming out of a pandemic and maybe trying to hold down the fort and recruit the Mid-Atlantic at a higher level.
That's going to have to be the final word for quarter number three. But when we pick this up in quarter number four, I have an example that kind of makes this point, Dustin. So make sure that I get to that. And that's how we'll start quarter number four. Stick with us. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.